Stop This, presented by the Colgate Palmolive Feet Company, makers of Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth, and Palmolive Brushless Shave Cream for smoother, more comfortable shaves. Can You Top This? Starring Senator Ford.
Good evening.
Harry Hirschfield.
Howdy.
And Joe Laurie, Jr.
Hello.
And now here's Colgate Palmolive Feet Company's Master of Ceremonies, Ward Wilson.
Good evening, friends. Welcome to Can You Top This? Our unrehearsed Wheeze Whirlpool. Our three wits do not know what jokes have been chosen until the people's representative, Peter Donald, tells them on the air. Our three gagsters have no scripts. They rely on memory and ability to switch jokes and make them fit the subject. If Peter Donald tells your submitted story, you get $10 plus a phonograph record, personally autographed by our wits, of Peter Donald telling your story on the air. Laughs are registered on the big Colgate Palmolive laugh meter in full view of the studio audience. Each time the wits fail to top your score, you win an additional $5, which means you may win $25. So, leave us, get on with the laughs. How about you, fellas? You all set?
Ready.
Yeah.
Everybody is tonight? Well, that's phenomenal. Here we go on the first joke of the evening, submitted by Gene Dorr of Malvern, Pennsylvania. And it's on the subject of something I hope none of you gents need, psychiatry.
Psychiatry. Can't even pronounce it.
So, Peter Donald, apparently you're the first subject of the evening.
Well, this is about a very, very prominent psychiatrist, very important psychiatrist, and this particular day, he's sitting in his office, his consultation room there. He's got the shades drawn, and he's working on a very important case that he's trying to analyze. On the bottles it says 80 proof, but he doesn't believe this. He's trying to figure it out. So he's sitting there, and all of a sudden the nurse shows in a patient, and he seems very nervous and very overwrought. So the doctor said, "Come in, sir." He said, "Lie down, relax." And he said, "Tell me your dilemma."
Well, he says, "Why should I tell you I'm dilemma? My name is Delaney."
Well, he said, "Lie down, tell me your problem."
Well, he said, "Doctor, I'm troubled. He says, "All the time, I keep seeing little green men with yellow feathers in their hats coming up out of holes in the ground. They keep coming up in their holes, and they stick out their tongues at me, and they torment me. Oh, it's terrible."
So the fellow said, "Well, now," he said, that's easy. We don't have to go too deep on this. That's a simple hallucination that's brought on perhaps by nervous tension, or perhaps it could possibly happen from overindulgence."
He says, "Overindulgence? No, it usually happens over in Dooley's. That's what it happens."
Well, now, he says, "Before I try to work this out for you out of your subconscious, I want you to take these powders, a sort of a sedative. I want you to take them for a week, change your habits a little bit, relax as much as you can, and then come back, and we'll see if you really need psychiatry." So the guy takes the powders, and he goes out. He comes back a week later, and the doctor says, "Well, how is everything?"
"Oh," he says, "Doctor, I've got to admit, I don't see them little green men at all. I don't see the little green men with the yellow feathers coming up out of the ground."
"Well," he said, "that's fine. It was just as simple as I thought. You never see the little green men with the yellow feathers coming up out of the ground."
He says, "No, how can they? Now the little red men with the blue feathers keep filling up the holes."
Well, you filled up the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter, too, Pete, to the extent of 1,000 that time, which gives Miss Dorr an automatic $25, I'm happy to say, but unfortunately puts our three wits at wit's end. So the best thing to do is...
Wit's end.
Wit's end, well, do you mean?
Oh, no. How corny can you get? After all, let's see. Only one hand raiser, not two. Do I see three? All right, I'll take the first one offered, and that belonged to Harry Hirschfield, and a pretty one it is.
Well, there is a gag that's running around town, a psychiatrist gag. I think it's all over the country now. It's about the tenant for a psychiatrist. Here's a doorbell, he opens it, and in comes a woman with a big ostrich. And she's talking to the ostrich. Says, "Darling, sweetie," she's stroking his head. And he brings him in the anteroom, and the guy runs into the psychiatrist, says, "You better do something about it. There's a woman in there with a big ostrich. She's disturbing all the patients. You better do something." He says, "Bring her right in." So she comes in with this ostrich. She drags the ostrich in. She sits down. The doctor says, "What's wrong with you, madam?"
"Says, there's nothing wrong with me. It's my husband. He thinks he's an ostrich."
Well, the ostrich turned out to be somewhat of a turkey, Harry. 700 to be exact on the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter, which doesn't exactly tie nor top Miss Doerr's 1,000. Better luck next time, however. Let's skip over now to Joe Laurie, Jr.
Well, there's a lot of goof gags with psychiatrists. This one is for nothing. This is free.
For free?
This don't come. It's about a goof comes into a psychiatrist's office in Chicago. He says, "Hey, Doc." He says, "I walked all the way from Milwaukee, all the way over to Chicago, on the lake and everything. I said, what? You walked on the lake? How come you didn't sink? He says, nobody told me it was water. All right, so he thought it was an ostrich. Now, the one I want to tell is a goof runs into the psychiatrist and he says, doctor, oh, you got to do something for me. I'm a terrible jam. Oh, he says, wait a minute, calm yourself. He says, oh, this is terrible. He says, what, wait a minute, tell me, quietly, what happens? What's the matter with you? He says, I keep talking to myself all day. All day I keep talking to myself all day, all day. He says, wait a minute, that's nothing to be afraid of. Don't be worried about that. You just talk to yourself. Yeah. He says, then what are you afraid of? He says, oh, I talk to myself in French and I can't understand a word I'm saying.
I can understand that, Joe. That was a 1,000 on the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter. However, to keep you in line, the original joke that you told, which didn't count, didn't. Except up to 250 on the same meter.
That's goofy.
Well, that's all right. That ties but doesn't top, Miss Dorr. And, Senator Ford, I believe you're number three.
Well, you know, Harry, you're talking about an ostrich for a husband. An ostrich would make a fine husband. It eats anything and sees nothing. That's not the joke, Mr. Wilson. I just thought
I'll
that
wait.
One. Well, I know a couple on psychiatry, I guess.
Give us a couple.
From around. A psychiatrist was lecturing on his favorite subject, and he said, you know, according to statistics, 11% more men are crazy than women. And the heckler in the back hollered, yeah, but who drives them nuts?
Well, you were eminently successful with the first one, which got 1,000 on the Colgate Palmolive.
Well, let's forget the second one, then.
Well, let's tell it anyway. What can we do?
If we have time later.
All right. I can tell you
another one. I'll toss one in, sure. Matter of fact, I know three now.
Settle for what?
Well, Screwball Jake walked into our local noodle joint up there, and he said to the superintendent, did a crazy guy escape from here? Superintendent said, no, none of our inmates escaped. Jake says, there must be a crazy guy escaped from someplace because somebody ran away with my wife.
I
like that one better than the other one.
Apparently the audience didn't. It was 600 on the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter, son. Harry, go ahead.
There's another one that's going around, too, about the... everybody's becoming a psychiatrist. So a fellow, a young psychiatrist, and he meets an old psychiatrist, an old guy who's been a psychiatrist for years. And the old psychiatrist is calm and peaceful. And the young psychiatrist says, I can't understand it. I'm sorry I became a psychiatrist. I have to listen all day, and I'm all in from hearing those women talk. They come to me, they drive me crazy. And he says to the old psychiatrist, how can you be so calm after listening to those women all day? He says, who listens?
That's the one I've been told. Very successful, Harry. That topped your original effort by plenty. It hit
well,
the top.
I was there.
Huh? Fair enough. But in spite of all your valiant efforts, looking at Miss Dorr's original 1,000, we send her $25 with the compliments of Palmolive Shave Cream. She should get the mess of stuff. Plus a 1,000 club certificate, a copy of that laugh-packed and brand-new joke book, Cream of the Crop, written by our three wits and now on sale wherever good books are sold. And in addition, we also send Miss Dorr a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling her story on the air. Now, here's Dan Donaldson with the biggest shaving news in history.
Three men out of every four get more comfortable, actually smoother shaves the Palmolive Brushless Shave Cream way. Yes, three men out of every four get more comfortable, actually smoother shaves the Palmolive Brushless Shave Cream way. This is not just a promise, not just a claim. 1,297 men tried the new, different Palmolive Brushless way to shave, and no matter how they shaved before, 79% found beards easier to cut. 75% got less razor pull, 69% closer shaves, 82% smoother feeling skin. And three men out of every four got more comfortable, actually smoother shave. But you be the judge. Try the new Palmolive brushless way to shave. Just do this. Wash your face with soap and water. Rinse. Soap your face thoroughly again and apply Palmolive brushless shave cream, smoothing it upward into your beard to get the full benefit of Palmolive brushless shave cream's beard conditioning effect. Then shave. That's all. But remember, Palmolive Brushless Shave Cream offers you proof that three men out of every four get more comfortable, actually smoother shaves the Palmolive Brushless Shave Cream way.
Should shaving comfort be forgot,
and shavers rant and rave?
Oh, no, my friends, your worries end
with Palmolive Brushless Shame.
Excellent voice tonight, fellas. I felt like calling you Frankie. And now we'll continue our contest of wit and humor with a joke which was sent in by D. Eveland of New Hyde Park, Long Island, New York. And it's on the subject of visit. So, Peter Donald, suppose we do just that.
This is about an American fellow who visited Scotland for the first time, and he's having a wonderful time over there, great time. And all of a sudden, he got a cable that he had to come back to the States. So he was living with a nice Scotsman there, and he went to his host. He said, "I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Ferguson, but," he says, "I got to go back to the United States of America." So Ferguson said, "Oh, laddie, that's too bad, but," he says, "I'll tell you what we do before you go." He says, "We'll give you a little party, you understand, to send you home happy about your visit to bonnie Scotland." So they arrange this thing, and there's a big party, and they're eating and drinking and having a wonderful time. And right at the height of the evening, the host announced the arrival of a Scottish bagpipe band. This band walked in. It was Sandy McHirschfield, his pig bladder, and his orchestra. And these guys come in, and they start playing these Highland airs and the pipes, and they're marching up and down and around the table and marching up and down. It's a fascinating thing, and this wonderful music, and they're marching around. And the American got a big kick out of it, and he turned to his host. He says, "Mr. Ferguson," he says, "pardon me, but I've always wondered," he says, "why these men," he says, "keep marching up and down while they play the pipes." "Oh," he says, "you see, Lottie," he says, "while playing the bagpipes, they've got to keep marching up and down, because if they stood still, they'd make too good a target."
Well, that wasn't exactly a bullseye, Peter. Should have been more air in the bagpipes, apparently. Because it got up to 350. Don't kick at it, just let it lay there. It got 350 on the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter, and our three wits are now at their wits' end.
You know, I understand from a Scotsman, he told me this. He said they have the military bagpipe bands in back of the regiment. That's the bagpipes drive the soldiers in the right direction, you see.
Well, apparently Pete needed something in back of him that time, too. But let's see how you three wits do on topping that original 350. And looking at the upraised hands, we call on little Joe Laurie, Jr.
Well, one of those nosy women, those nosy neighbors, went in to see. She said, "I think I'll call her Mrs. Smith tonight." So she walks in there, and the kid is there. She says, "Your mama home?" She says, "No, I'll just sit down in the parlor, and I'll see if mama's home. I think she went out shopping." So she goes upstairs and looks around. And while she's around, this nosy dame looks all over the parlor, and she just turns her nose up and goes over to the piano, and there's about an inch of dust on the piano. She says, "Oh, isn't that terrible?" So she writes with a finger on the piano, S-L-O-B, slob, right on the piano. So the kid comes out, she says, "No, Mama's out. She isn't here." She says, "All right, I'll see you tomorrow." So she goes out. The next day, while she's shopping, she sees Mrs. Smith. She says, "Oh, Mrs. Smith, I was over your house yesterday. I visited you yesterday." She says, "Yes, I know. I saw your card on the piano."
Definite topper, Joseph. 1,000 to be precise on the Colgate-Palmolive laugh meter, topping Mr. Evelyn's 350, needless to say. And, Senator, are you scratching your nose or...
No, I'm not near my nose.
I'm at a bad...
Matter of fact, you're nearer to it than I am.
I'm at a bad angle here. However, let's cut you in.
Senator Wiley, Senator from Wisconsin, he compiled a joke book called Humor in Congress. I don't know if you fellas got it or not, but he sent me one anyway. And there's a gag in there that I could tell that fits here. It seems a clergyman rang the doorbell of a palatial mansion down south, and when the servant answered the door, he said, "Is your master a Christian?" The servant said, "No, sir, he's in Congress."
Well, that fits to
blame Senator Wiley.
It fits to the extent of 900 on the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter, Senator, which definitely tops Mr. Evelyn's 350. He seems to be in a rut with that $10 we let him have at the first.
I think I'll get that book, Senator.
Well, while you're getting the book, Joe, suppose we move over to Harry Hirschfield.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of visit stories. One I want to toss in quick, and that is a wife calls up a doctor. He says, "My husband is sick. Now, he don't know how sick he is, and I don't know. Now, he's coming to you. He's going to pay you a visit. Now, don't frighten him. Don't give anything to suggest he's frightening him if it's serious. Not the slightest hint, because it wouldn't be good for him." So the guy goes over there. The doctor puts the stethoscope to the guy. He listens. He takes off the stethoscope. The guy says, "What have you decided, doctor?"
Says to get my money in advance. And the other one... And the other one, a drunk goes into a barber shop that he had never visited before. It's the first time he'd been in there. And the guy sees he's drunk, so he don't bother about a good razor or anything. He starts shaving him. Shaving him, and he cuts this guy all up with bleeding and everything. And when his drunk gets out of the chair, he looks in the glass, he sees these cuts and everything, and he's all... When he gets all finished, dressed up, he gives the barber $5 tip. The fellow said, you got a mistake, boss. You give me $5. He said, I know, I'll give you $5. He said, after what I done to you, boss, you give me $5? He said, yeah. I want to show you what a wonderful customer you lost.
Well, you didn't lose anything there, Harry. Your joke got 1,000 on the Colgate-Palmolive laugh meter. The preface also got 800, I might add.
Well,
so,
bad.
No, it's very good, as a matter of fact. All three of you wits topped Mr. Evelyn's 350, unfortunately for Mr. Evelyn. So, we send him $10 with the compliments of Palmolive shave creams. We can't send him a 1,000 club certificate. That's out. A copy of that laugh-packed brand-new joke book, Cream of the Crop, written by our three wits and now on sale wherever good books are sold. And in addition, we're sending Mr. Evelyn a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling his story on the air. Well, let's see now. Our next joke comes from Miss Frances Salem of Havertown, Pennsylvania. And the subject of this round is, guess I better not remark about this. Women. Women. So, Pete, let your conscience be your guide.
Well, over in Brooklyn, two girls over there, Sadie and Gertrude, were discussing one of the girls in town there. A gal that everybody thought was pretty attractive. But these gals were rapping her, and Sadie said,
she said, well, I don't know, Gertrude. Everyone is so crazy about that girl. She belongs to all the social clubs and everything, you know. She goes to all the meetings. Her house must be a mess. She's never home. And the clothes she wears... Oh, them dresses, really, they're terrible. I happen to know when she goes shopping, she buys them dresses on the 7th floor, and the neckline is cut all the way down to the mezzanine. It's terrible. She says when she gets up to make a speech at the club, the women aren't listening to what she's saying at all. They're just looking at them clothes she wears.
So poor Sadie, she says, you've done it, but after all, maybe it ain't just the clothes, you know. Most everyone says that that girl has a very magnetic personality.
She says magnetic personality? Why shouldn't it be magnetic? Everything she wears is charged.
Well, you're charged with 1,000 on the Colgate-Palmolive laugh meter for that one, Peter. Eminently successful as far as Miss Salem is concerned. That's $25 automatically going over there. And for the second time this evening, our wits have no place to go except 1,000.
You notice all three hands are up on this subject?
Yeah, no.
Something we think we know something about.
Well, I'm surprised that you're that much of a braggadocio nature. However...
I used to put a skirt on any gay.
All right, Senator, put the first skirt on.
Well, you know, when it comes to women, they can make the wisest remarks. I think they're really insulting at times, you know. They got men stopped when it comes to cracks like that. Well, anyway, two co-eds, even when they're young, they pull the same thing. Two co-eds were talking about a girl who was absent at the time. They said, "Huh, the only thing a sweater does for her is to make her itch."
That do it, Senator. Another 1,000 in a futile cause that ties Miss Salem's 1,000 on the Colgate-Palmolive laugh meter, but doesn't stop her. And now, let's scratch our way around and find out what Joe Laurie Jr. had.
Well, this one doesn't count, Ward. This is about a girl applies for a position, and the boss says, a stenographer? She says, no. She says, a typewriter? She says, no. Is a secretary? She says, no. What do you do? She says, oh, I'm just a week working girl. He says, oh, you work by the week. But Pete telling that story reminded me of a pretty old story. It's about two girls talking, and one girl says to the other, she says, who is that handsome man I see you with all the time? She says, oh, new fella of mine. You know, he's a millionaire. He's a millionaire? Yeah, oh, he is handsome, though. Oh, She says, oh, yesterday he held me in his arms and he held me close to him. She says, tell me the truth, she says. When he held you close in your arms, in his arms, and pulled you tight towards him, didn't something, oh, electrical pass between you? She says, you bet it did. I stuck my light bill in his pocket.
Joe, there's no charge for that one, believe me. 1,000 on the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter, giving us a perfect round thus far. Harry, it's right in your lap now.
First, just comes out what was the trouble between Adam and Eve. Eve couldn't throw up to Adam what a wonderful guy her first husband was. But there's a story that Paul Shorstein, editor of the Journal American, told me that's a brand new story out. And that is, a couple go into an automobile showroom. They say to the automobile salesman, we don't know, we got $5,000 and we don't know whether we should have a baby and use the $5,000 for the baby or get an automobile. Well, he said, that's purely up to you people. Think it over for a few days. So in a few days it came back and says, we are not going to have the automobile. We decided to have the baby for the $5,000. He says, is that your decision? She says, yes. We feel we can get a quicker delivery on the baby than the car.
Harry, if my Packard dealer is listening, there's more truth than poetry in that one. There was also 1,000 on the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter, too. A perfect round for the first time tonight. So we send Miss Salem $25 with the compliments of Colgate Dental Cream, a 1,000 Club certificate, a copy of the Laugh Pack Joke Book, Cream of the Crop, and also a copy of a phonograph record, rather, of Peter Donald telling her story on the air. And now here's Ron Rawson with an important message.
Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. No other toothpaste does a better job of cleaning teeth than Colgate Dental Cream. For Colgate Dental Cream has a safe polishing agent that cleans your teeth both gently and thoroughly, brings out their natural sparkle and beauty. You can actually see and feel the difference. And scientific tests prove that Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. Yes, actual scientific tests prove conclusively that in 7 out of 10 cases, Colgate's instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. Colgate Dental Cream is famous for its wonderful wake-up flavor, too. Nationwide tests of leading toothpaste prove that Colgate is preferred for flavor over every other brand tested. Yes, preferred over every other brand tested. And no wonder, for Colgate Dental Cream is the result of constant effort to produce the finest toothpaste in the world today. For cleaning teeth, for flavor, for sweetening breath. So see if you don't agree with the millions who have made Colgate Dental Cream America's favorite toothpaste. Try Colgate Dental Cream to bring out the natural sparkle and beauty of your teeth for a wake-up flavor you'll thoroughly enjoy. And always use Colgate Dental Cream after you eat and before every date to clean your breath while you clean your teeth.
Well, here's a fresh joke, fella, sent in by Mrs. Martha B. Agg, A-double-G, of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And it's on the subject of something you may have visited once in a while, fortune teller. Fortune teller. So good luck to you, Peter.
Well, this happened in a doctor's office, and the waiting room was all crowded with patients, and all of a sudden the door burst open, and in came a woman in gypsy clothes. Gypsy clothes, you know, with a colorful skirt and the big gold earrings and this turban, bandana turban around her head. And right on the front, it had this mystic inscription, Statla Hotel, right across the front. And she rushes up to the nurse.
She says, you pardon me, nurse. I am the Princess Zuzu. I'm the Princess Zuzu. I got to see the doctor right away in a hurry.
So the nurse says, well, wait a minute. She said, I'll have to have some personal information. Where are you employed?
She said, well, I work at the little ipsy-pipsy-gypsy tea shop, eh? She says, I'm reading the leaves in the tea and the grounds in the coffee and once in a while the lumps in the cocoa, whatever I am. So she says, I've got to see the doctor.
The woman says, wait a minute now, I got to get this information down. You say that you're a real gypsy?
She says, so whether I look like a Portuguese or something, certainly, I'm the Princess Zuzu. I got to see the doctor right away.
Well, she says, I'm sorry, there are a lot of patients waiting ahead of you.
She said, this is an emergency. I got to see him right away.
So with that, the doctor heard all this hollering. He came out. He says, just a moment, madam. What makes you think that you got to see me before all my other patients?
Well, she says, doctor, I'm a fortune teller. I got to see you in a hurry.
Well, he says, what's the fact you're a fortune teller got to do with your rushing in here and wanting to get an appointment right away?
She says, well, I'll tell you. You see, I want to take your x-ray machine for about 10 minutes.
He says that you're a fortune teller. Why do you want my x-ray machine?
She says, because one of my customers came in to have the teacup read, and she accidentally swallowed the tea leaves.
Well, more or less accidentally, you stumbled up to 1,000 on the Colgate-Palmolive laugh meter with that, Pete, too. Oh, so Mrs. Ag is happy if no one else is. That's $25 in her direction.
Huh? E-G-G, is that?
Yes. A-G-G. You laid the egg, not the egg. I wouldn't call it exactly an egg. Harry, how about you?
At a party, Mrs. Van Creighton Van Eppes III, she's boasting, and they're talking about fortune tellers, and she says, oh, I went to a $100 fortune teller. I paid $100. Oh, but it was worth it. $100. She said I would marry a very rich man, have a mansion with 32 rooms, have yachts and everything, and it came out exactly. Mrs. Blivett says, I went to a 75-cent fortune teller, and what did I get? A little fat shrimp of a guy. I'm living in the fourth floor, in the back, got no water, no anything. The other woman says, well, it's no use talking. Cheap is cheap.
Another 1,000, Harry. You're hitting like a pistol tonight. And, Senator, how about you?
Well, there was a married couple. He was always plastered, and she was always running to fortune tellers. And finally, he reprimanded her. He said, you spend too much money getting your hand read. And she said, you spend too much money getting your nose read.
And is my fez red? 1,000 on the Colgate-Palmolive laugh meter that time, Senator. Looks like we might have a second perfect round in progress right now. However, Joe, it's
well,
up
one
to
of those,
you.
One of those big fat women, oh, she must have weighed about 400 pounds. She gets on one of those fortune-telling weighing machines. And she finally gets up there, gets a penny out of her purse and puts it in, and it goes ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. And out comes the card and it says, hold tight, sisters, this'll take two trips.
Happy to report, Joe, you dude it. Another 1,000, according to Mr. Colgate and Mr. Palmolive's laugh meter, giving us a second perfect round of the evening. But the facts and figures are these, that we send Mrs. Ag $25 because Pete got there first with the compliments of Colgate Dental Cream, plus a 1,000 Club certificate, a copy of that laugh-packed and brand-new joke book, Cream of the Crop, written by our three wits and on sale wherever good books are sold. And in addition, we're sending Mrs. Ag a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling her story on the air. Well, I'm afraid time is just about wasted on it, fellas, so I'll just ask the audience to join Can You Top This, originated by Senator Ford, next week. Same time, same gang, other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Senator Ford.
Harry Hirschfield.
Joe Laurie Jr.
Peter Donald.
Ward Wilson.
And Dan Donaldson saying goodnight for the Colgate-Palmolive Feet Company, makers of Colgate Dental Cream, to clean your breath while you clean your teeth, and Palmolive Brushless Shave Cream for smoother, more comfortable shaves.
Dream girl, dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl, you owe your crowning glory to a luster cream shampoo.
Yes, luster cream shampoo leaves hair with new three-way loveliness, fragrantly clean, glistening with sheen, soft and easy to manage. Be a dream girl, a lovely luster cream girl.
Be sure to tune in to Judy Canova and the old Professor Kay Kaiser over most of these same stations tomorrow night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.